If you got your Bibles today, let's open to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, here at the beginning of 2024, God has us focusing on talking about prayer. Talking about prayer. As Pastor Rick DeBose said, prayer is our way forward into all things. At the beginning of 2024, we need to know our path forward in through this year. We don't know what this year is going to bring. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives. There were a lot of surprises last year that we weren't expecting. At least I wasn't expecting last year. You know, there's a lot of things that happen. And so prayer is our way forward into all of these things. And so it's important that we would pray. And it's important that we would know how to pray. How to pray. And so the last couple weeks we've been talking about in getting to the Lord's Prayer, we've been talking about the motives of prayer. When Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to be seen by others when they're praying. Or don't be like the pagans who babble on and babble on and babble on, thinking that their prayers will be heard because of their many words. We talked about Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. They prayed all day to their false god. And at the end of that day, Elijah gets up and he repairs the altar of the Lord and he kills the animal, puts the animal on it, pours a buckets of water multiple times over that, prays like two verses of a prayer, and boom, fire falls from heaven and consumes that altar. And so our motives in coming to prayer is that we would come to prayer with the motive to meet with God, not to impress anybody else, not to think if I pray so many times in a religious way that that's going to have my prayers answered, but we come with a motive to meet with God, both corporately, what we're doing today, and privately. And then last week, Jacob brought a word about the hindrances to prayer, those things that keep us from coming to prayer, those things that we would struggle with is coming to prayer. He gave us a list of different things, our sin. Sin in our lives causes a hindrance to prayer. We can't go to God because we feel like we have this sin in our hearts and that's going to keep us from God. And while it does, when we come to God, when we turn away from that and we come to God, he brings his cleansing forgiveness and grace and brings all that to us. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a hindrance to prayer. The temptations that we have when we live them out, when we think about them, when we meditate on them, and we walk in that direction, those are hindrances to prayer. Our flesh can hinder us as well. I was actually reading in that book In Jesus' Name, and this Pastor Rick, he was talking to a pastor who had a moral failure. And he said, how did it happen? And he said, well, it started with, I started doing some things and God was kind of pointing his finger at me and I just didn't want to listen. I wanted to keep doing the things that I was doing and kept going that way. And what eventually happened is that he just didn't have a desire to pray anymore. All those things that keep us from that. But yet at the same time, once we turn around and go back to the Lord, once we repent and once we ask for forgiveness, he freely receives us. He wants us to come and talk with him. As Jacob shared last week in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. That could be kind of a scary scripture. Every single time that I mess up, does that mean that the Lord doesn't hear me? No, it doesn't mean that. Even on our little mess-ups, as we walk with God, they don't keep our prayers from being heard. As we're walking with God, we mess up from time to time. We do. I do. I know you all do. I'm not the only one. But verse 19 says, but God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to the God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. But these things, these motives and these hindrances are important to consider when we come to prayer, not because we have to deal with all these religiosity type of things. We have to do all this religious stuff so that we can come to God in prayer. No, no. But rather that we would come to him with a heart that is ready and open to experience transformation. Transformation. Now, how many know a stone is not an easy thing to transform? You can smooth out the rough edges of that stone. You can polish it, make it look really nice. It's a really shiny stone, still a stone. You can take that stone and you can throw it against some other stones and they can break into a bunch of little pieces. And every single one of those little pieces is still a stone, right? It's hard to change a stone. We don't want stony hearts. We don't want stony hearts, but hearts of flesh, like what God spoke through Ezekiel, that he was going to take out of us stony hearts and put in hearts of flesh. Hearts that are shapeable, hearts that are moldable, hearts that are transformable. And so, As we get to Matthew 6 and verse 9 here, we're going to begin to read, actually we're going to read the Lord's Prayer today. I think we'll probably do this every week that we're in the Lord's Prayer. So whether you have it memorized or not, I just encourage you to open up your Bible or your phone and just look at the words. Sometimes those words and what is familiar to us, how many times have we read a passage of Scripture and later on in life it speaks something different to us? Because it's a living word. It's a living word. So I just encourage you just to follow along or to read out loud, whatever you'd like to do, but we're going to read together Matthew 6 and starting in verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And some of your scriptures may say, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that just that prayer that maybe some of us grew up praying or speaking or reciting, God, I just pray that that prayer would come alive to us. As we pray, as we spend time studying what your word says, Lord, would you make your scriptures come alive to us today? And Lord, would you speak through me today? Would you do what you want to in our hearts? May our hearts be open to receive and experience the transformation that only your Holy Spirit can bring. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Title of the message today, Encounter the Father. Encounter the Father. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, in Exodus 5, Moses and Aaron were sent by God to go and to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And so Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and they say this to him. And this is what Pharaoh responds with in Exodus 5 and verse 2. He says, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord and will not let Israel go. Who is the Lord? It's a question that we all ask at some point in our lives. Every single person. And maybe that question that we ask is not answered in a moment, but it's answered throughout the time of our life walking with the Lord. It's answered more fully each and every day. At the Connect conference that we were at, a pastor pointed out that the very first thing that God revealed himself to us as, the very first thing happens in Genesis 1 and verse 1. The very first thing that God reveals himself as. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So who is God? Who is the Lord? He is a creator. He is a creator. And what did he create? All things. You're reading my notes today, Christine. All things, including man and woman. But the difference between all the things that he created and mankind is that he made mankind in his image. In his image. That signifies that you and I have a different relationship with the Lord than anything else that he created. Anything else. We're made to actually kind of look like him. Because we're made in his image. When a baby is born and that child grows, we can begin to see similarities between his parents, his or her parents, and how that baby looks. When they're first born, it's like, oh, that's a cute baby. But as they get bigger, and as I think about like Reed and Natalia, they just had their baby a few months ago, and you look at pictures now, and that baby's got a smile on his face, and you're like, oh, I see Reed's smile, or I see Natalia's eyes, or whatever it is. You start to see those things as a child grows and develops. And in a similar way, God, as creator, is father of all of us. He is father of all of us and because he created us, and in some way, we look like him. Not necessarily in a physical appearance, but because of the spirit that he created us to have inside this flesh. Inside this flesh. And that same spirit, which is dead to begin with because of the sin of Adam, that spirit, King David said that surely when I was sinful from the moment that I was conceived, from that moment of conception, we are sinful. That spirit man inside of us is dead. And so that spirit which is dead because of the sin of Adam is what God the Father brings to life in salvation. He brings it to life. Can someone say hallelujah? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A picture of this is in Romans 8 and verse 16. Paul says, "The Spirit," capital S, "himself," that is the Holy Spirit, "testifies with our spirit," lowercase s, "that we are God's children." We are God's children. We are made to look like him. And as God is Trinity, he is a triune God. That means there's three persons, but one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. As God is Trinity. In fact, in Genesis 1 and 26, it says that God said, let us make man in our image. In our image. God is a Trinity. And we being made in his image, we also have three distinct parts of us. We have lots of organs and body parts. And I said when I was talking to the Lions Club last week, I said, Lever 2000, that old commercial. It's good for you and your 2,000 parts. We got 2,000 probably at least parts in us. But the main thing that we're talking about here, the three parts that represent the Lord, the Trinity, three parts are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. That's not just something that people came up with, philosophers, but we find that in the scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, when Paul speaks this blessing, he says, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit, soul, and body. Our body, it's the physical part of us. It's the part that when we go and we say good morning and we shake someone's hand, let me shake your hand here. Thank you. Pentecostal handshake, I guess. When we shake someone's hand and we say good morning to you, that's the physical part of us working at, or connecting with the physical part of others. That's our body. That's what's on the outside of us. That's the shell. That's the shell. Inside that shell is what is called the soul. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's where we get our personality from. And it's the mediary between the flesh and the spirit man, which is like at the core of us. As I think about the spirit man, I think of the scriptures, something that's deep within us. The Bible says, deep cries out to deep. When we have that spirit man is what cries out to God. It's the part that when we are born again, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, it lives in our spirit man. It's the part of us that communicates with God. It's a part of us from which flows into the soul and then into the flesh or our body, that which is of the Lord. And when that spirit man is dead, guess what's flowing into our soul and what's into our flesh? We can clean the outside. We can try to clean up the behavior on the outside. But if the inside isn't transformed by the Spirit of God living in our spirit, this is just a show on the outside. We're just actors and actresses. So God is our Father. And whether all people he created acknowledge it or not, as Alex talked about just a little bit ago, in Ephesians 4 and verse 6, it tells us that there is only one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. That word all, just in case you're wondering, means all. It means all. All. So we were made in God's image as children born to us, near us. And as we look like him, we are also made to represent him on this earth. To represent him. Genesis 1 and 26 again. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Making us in his image means that we received authority to rule over all things on this earth, as he himself rules over the entire universe. Isn't that cool? And as we live out the plans that he has for us, we bring him glory, like a son or a daughter who makes their parents proud. Make me proud, boy! Make me proud! Make me proud. And so to be like him and to bring him glory, we need to know him. We need to know him. We need to know what he is like. And how do we do that? By reading his word, yes. But we can only know about him if all we do is read his word. You think about a history book. Some famous person, George Washington. George Washington, he's long dead, right? We can read about him in the book. We can know about who he was. We can know about who he lived, but we can't know him. We can't know him. God doesn't want us to know, just know about him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. And it is through prayer that the word transforms us. The word transforms us as we pray, as we spend time with our Father. It is through prayer that we build a relationship with our Father, like Jacob talked about last week. Prayer is an essential part of our relationship with God. So Pharaoh asks, who is the Lord? The answer, at least in part, he is our Father. He is our Father, the one who created us. That's who we pray to. He is our perfect Father, our perfect Father. Let's talk about perfect fathers for a minute. Perfect fathers. Any of you a perfect father in here? I just want to make sure I'm in the right room. Okay, good, okay. Perfect father, yeah. All of us know we don't have, and nor are we, perfect fathers. But for some, it's hard to grapple with God being our father because we didn't have a father in our life, an earthly father. Or because the father that we did have in our life didn't treat us as God intended us to be treated, as one who represents our Heavenly Father. And so we need to acknowledge that no parent is able to parent their child perfectly. We need to acknowledge that. And we can't do it well without God's Spirit in us, whether we're a parent of our own children or a parent of adopted children or a parent of spiritual children or a grandparent. We can't do that well without God's Spirit being in us. It's the same as our trying to do this life right without God's help. I'm thankful I'm not the only father my kids see. It's God's people, as we do life together in the church, that help our children and us as adults get a better picture of the heart of our Father. Yeah, children or adults. When we see his attributes manifested in each other, we see that there is a Father who loves us and who cares for us. Regardless of what we went through as a child, we need to see that. That happens in the church. And while God would do a much better job of being our Father than any one of us as fathers or mothers, for that matter, can do with our own children, I'm thankful that he still causes us to be moms and dads, spiritual moms and dads, grandparents, to the children that he creates through us and the children that he surrounds us with. As we learn to know our Heavenly Father better, we represent him better on this earth to our children, our spiritual children, our grandchildren, and to each other. Years ago, there was a time with my parents and I that we hit a point in our relationship where it was kind of rocky. And there were some doors being closed, and there were some things that were happening, and we were kind of getting to a point where there was maybe going to be a break in our relationship altogether. And that hurt. To think about, I wouldn't be able to talk to my parents, and they wouldn't be able to talk to me. To think about that, like my family, at the time Kelly, and we had a few kids at that point, that my kids couldn't see their grandparents. My wife couldn't be with her in-laws. I couldn't be with my parents. That was a hard time. Fortunately, just a season. Praise the Lord, just a season. But in that time, God brought me to this passage of Scripture in Psalm 27 and verse 10. This is the NILT translation, the NLT. Psalm 27 and verse 10 says this: even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Even if my father and mother abandon me, in the NIV it says, the Lord will receive me. The Lord will receive me. In that season, I learned that I had a father who would always receive me when I come to him. I learned that in that season. That's who our Father God is. Even if those who are meant to mean the most to us growing up, if you couldn't be with them for some reason, you can know that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you, who will hold you close, and who receives you. I don't always love my children the way that I should. I tell them I'm not a perfect dad. They know that. Yet they still got me socks for Christmas that say Super Dad on them. I actually am wearing them today. One says, I'm a dad. The other one says, what's your superpower? I'm thankful for the grace that I get from my children. But I'm thankful that while I don't always love them as they should be or treat them as they should, that the Lord is the one who's going to hold them close, as he does each and every one of us. Pastor, what does all this have to do with the Lord's Prayer? I thought we were talking about the Lord's Prayer today. Yeah. I want you to observe. Jesus begins teaching people how to pray by first addressing God as someone other than the title of God. He addresses God as our Father. Our Father. Our Father. Before, this is the main point today. Before God is anything else to us, he is our Father. He is our Father. We got to get a hold of that. We got to understand that that is who he wants, that special relationship that only you and I can have with him. He wants that. He made us in his image. He is our Father. There's a special relationship that we can have with him that we can't have with anybody else. He is our Father. And when we pray, he wants us to remember that he is our Father. I tell my kids, there's only 5 people in the world that can call me Daddy. Only 5 people. Don't call me anything else than Daddy. There's nobody else that can call me Daddy. Maybe 6. I just found out today. That's what God wants us to do. He is our Father. He's not just some aloof God that's just out there and taking care of everything and, you know, he created me and now I'm here and I'm just off to live on my own. He wants to be in my life. He wants to be my Father. He wants to do all these things. He's the one who never slumbers or sleeps. Psalm 121 and verse 4. He is up in the middle of the night when we can't sleep. When we need someone to talk to. He's up. He's available. When we're hurting and we just need someone to hold us. Yes, even men need to be held. Yes. We just need someone to hold us. He is one that the scriptures can rightly be said of. In Isaiah 40 and verse 27 says this, O Jacob, how can you say that the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say that God ignores your rights? How can you say that? He doesn't ignore our rights. He sees our troubles. He knows the anguish of our souls. He comes to comfort us in that place deep within us, in that spirit part of us that then flows into the soul that brings comfort to the grief, brings love to the hurt, and then outside, outwardly, when we begin to manifest those things that he's doing in our hearts, in our spirit man, in our lives, it flows out of us. He is the one who says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. He's our instructor, he's our teacher, but that's not the end of the verse. He also says, I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. You ever looked at someone and just felt loved by the way that they look at you? God is our teacher, he's our instructor, he's our Father, but he looks at us with a loving eye. He looks at us with a loving eye. He is God, he's just, he's righteous. He will show us what is right and he will correct our wrongs. But he will do so with his loving eye on us. As we close today, guys, I want you to know I only talked about 2 words from the Lord's Prayer today. Our Father. Our Father. That's it. That's all. I had planned to talk about more, but this is God just, no, just this. Focus on this. None of us had perfect fathers, right? That means that all of us have, in one way or another, been hurt, been left out, been neglected, maybe even been abused. All of us have experienced what I would call father hurt. God wants to take the next few moments now to pray for one another. God wants to bring healing today in our hearts. I believe he moved the message earlier in the service so that people don't slip out. That was very good timing, very good timing. But I believe that that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to take time together, to spend time together today, and to pray for one another. Maybe you've suppressed some hurt from the past. Maybe you didn't even realize that you had some hurt until we talked about it a little bit today. Whatever the case may be, God wanted us to stop right here at Our Father. And I give my children permission to say, yes, I need prayer for father hurt as well. Okay? Don't feel like you have to set an example of that, okay? But can we all stand together today? I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to ask you, as I pray, there's someone here today that needs a healing in their hearts from something that their dad did or didn't do. Their dad wasn't present in their life. Whatever the case may be, I'm going to pray today. Today is your day for healing. Father, I just thank you for this time that we got to spend looking at your word and to reading the first two words in the Lord's Prayer. Just talking about those two things, that you are our Father. And Lord, I thank you that while you are our perfect Father, and you made us in your image, and the way that you intended us to live, God, I thank you that you're the perfect picture of that, but we are not. God, I confess as a father, I've failed. I still fail. I haven't done it right all the time, Lord. These socks don't make a difference as to whether or not I do it right. But I thank you that you see the potential in us. I thank you that you can take all things and use them for good to those who love you. And so today we bring these requests to you, God. Don't be afraid today. Don't be ashamed today. If you've experienced hurt from your earthly father or mother, just raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand. Those of you who are not raising your hands, would you go find somebody who is raising their hands? And just lay a hand on them. Keep your hands up. Jesus. Jesus. Father, this is a healing moment right now. Father, you know the anguish of our souls today. You know the things that have happened into our lives. God, you know how it's impacted us. You know how we maybe even blamed our father or our mother for the way that it is that we are today, the struggles that we have today. Lord, I ask today, you are the Lord who heals. That's who you revealed yourself as. Lord, I ask that you would bring healing into hearts today. Lord, you want us to come to you not with a preconceived notion that you're like our earthly father or earthly mother, Lord. But you want us to see you as who you truly are. Our perfect Father who loves us perfectly. And even if our father and our mother in this world abandon us or forsake us, you hold us close. You receive us, God. You show us as moms and dads how to live. how to be your representatives on this earth. So, Father, we confess today this hurt that we carry. We confess today the things that have happened to us that were not of your hand, God. We let those things go today. Lord, you see the wounds. You know the hurts. Lord, would you bring that healing touch to those wounds, to those hearts that have been hurt or felt neglected or abandoned? Would you bring healing today, Lord?